First on today's Old Mole, John Foran. Welcome to KABU.
Hey, thank you, Bill. Pleasure to be with you.
John Foran teaches at the University of California, Santa Barbara. His specialties, as listed in the university website, climate crisis, global climate justice movement, sustainable development, and building better futures. John also is writes in the various blogs, writes a lot in the System Change, Not Climate Change blog, and publishes a good deal on its website, and also the website, it's resilience.org. Is that right, John?
Yes, that's right.
Thanks. So, Santa Barbara, John, where you live, it's made the news, especially the weather news, for because a few weeks ago it was burning. And then last week it was flooding and people were killed in the mudslides. Less noticed in the U.S. news, many other countries are experiencing climate disasters with vastly more deaths. John, tell us what's happening in Santa Barbara County and then we can talk about the rest of the world that doesn't in fact enjoy the wealth of the U.S. and Santa Barbara to reconstruct.
Well, incredibly, Bill, I'm looking at the front page of today's New York Times and there's a massive picture of Highway 101, which is the main north-south artery connecting Santa Barbara with L.A. to the south and the Bay Area to the north. And it's under mud and water. And that's a week, almost a week now, after the storms. And there's a accompanying article, front page story, 20 deaths from mudslides, predominantly in a small community called Montecito above the town of Santa Barbara, a very wealthy enclave. People like Oprah Winfrey and various celebrities and movie stars live in that community. And because it's on a hill after the fires, the tremendous fires, the Thomas Fire of December, the largest in the history of California in terms of the acreage that was burned, charred all the hillsides, came a big rain a week ago, and enormous mudslides sweeping away houses, inundating the highway, closing down the highway now for almost a week, which is the main artery, the way to leave Santa Barbara in case of a disaster to the south. So it's stunningly massive in its impact on everyday life here, as was the fire itself, which affected all of the town and towns north and south of Santa Barbara. Such that nobody could walk around without a very fancy mask. You couldn't go outside the house. The air was unbreathable for more than a week. That was back in December. So that's a huge 1-2 punch by Mother Nature, and a wake-up call, a huge wake-up call for residents of a town that's normally, as you say, associated with an easygoing California lifestyle.
Tell us about the role of global warming in the last couple of years in California. And the impact is bound to be a tremendous strain on agriculture in California, and the which is one of the breadbaskets of the United States, at least for vegetables and other stuff. It seems to me that what's happening is extremely, and the United States even, is extremely alarming and a harbinger of what's to come. And then let's talk about that, and then let's talk about what's happening in the poorer countries, which are getting hit harder and which, in fact, can't really respond. But first, in the United States, the long-term effects of what we're seeing.
Well, we're seeing the predicted and predictable effects of climate change. It's not a theory anymore. It's a reality that's happening all over the world. And we're seeing it here in California, the biggest, the eighth biggest economy in the world, if it were a country, which some of us would love to see someday. And based on our agricultural and high tech and various other sort of industries, but agriculture for sure, has been affected by a drought that lasted 6 or 7 years until last winter, that was first called, you know, a 500-year drought. Then it was called a 1,000-year drought, supposedly of a magnitude that would only happen once every 1,000 years. But that's under a kind of benign and normal climate, such as we haven't enjoyed now for about 50 years as this crisis has slowly built up with greenhouse gases and global warming and now the effects of that. Drought means fires up and down the state in the past year. It means floods when rains come. As we've just had, it was called a 200-year mudslide or flood. This, again, front page of today's New York Times. And, of course, we know that that's no longer the case. In fact, rains are expected later this week. It may turn out to be a twice-a-year flood. We hope not. And this is true. You know, California is a large microcosm of the world, the states as a whole. We saw in 2017 the awful devastation of hurricanes in Texas and in Florida. We saw fires throughout the United States over the summer. And at the same time all of this was happening, there's been storms, extreme weather all over the world. During the hurricanes back in September, I remember reading that something like one-third of the country of Bangladesh was underwater from flooding, from extreme rains. The Caribbean was hit as hard as anywhere in the United States, and Puerto Rico is a good case in point. Puerto Rico, which incredibly months after the disaster has not got electricity back up, the grid is not back up and running as it normally should. We're seeing, you know, the price tag put on these disasters for 2017, just for the United States recently, of $300 billion. And sadly, that's going to be the new normal in the future. If we don't get a tremendous turnaround of the logic of the systems that are contributing to give us this, you know, disaster.
Right. Well, in the United States, of course, there's tremendous wealth, and often these storms just serve as kind of an economic stimulus as money is thrown at it, and the economy recovers, and ultimately 101 will probably be cleared. In Puerto Rico, that's not happening, and there's a lot of vultures, in fact, trying to take advantage of it, which happens everywhere. There's huge amounts of predation. Then there's the question, of course, of food. My sense is that the planet is going to become, and a lot of areas are becoming infertile because of the droughts, The soils are getting destroyed as they pour more and more pesticides and various fertilizers on them. We could wind up with a enormous famine, you know, basically across the world, and spiking food prices. What's going to happen in the third world? It seems to me if we don't act fairly soon, we're going to be on a planet with lots of countries armed with nuclear weapons who are basically dying, and their people are dying, and even their armies are dying. It seems to me a grim picture before us. If you don't mind my saying so.
Sorry to laugh. It's important to have a sense of humor through all this, and that's all the more so in the era of Trump. You know, food and water are the basic stuff of life, and food and water in the long term this century are threatened enormously by climate change itself, driven by, as you point out, our sort of industrial forms of agriculture, our fossil fuel economy, in fact driven ultimately at base probably by the whole system of capitalism, which it drives relentlessly forward toward ever increasing resource use and exhaustion in the search for profit. Short-term profit. I recently read also that the unrest or the uprisings in Iran of the last 2 weeks which interestingly took place not in the capital of Tehran, as they have in the past, but all around the country, in poorer cities and in rural areas themselves, also impacted by drought in the past year. And of course, we know the Syrian civil war and the refugee crisis that emanates out of that was also driven by an earlier drought. So these things are all connected, food, water, security, peace, war, migration, violence, a way of life, a civilization. And you're quite right. We need a system change of immense magnitude as soon as we can possibly make it happen. And of course, as you also know and point out on this show, efforts, there's a massive set of a network of movements that are all coming to terms with this, and hopefully will grow apace with it and become strong enough to make this the changes that need right. to be made absolutely everywhere.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that again and with you, John Foran.